Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
This is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. Welcome back. We had to start a new show, but we are still on YouTube Live, so that's been going strong here and ain't stopped. So we started that at right at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, and then we messed up on the Blog Talk Radio. We had to restart that, so that's back up and going again. And we're back now, so we're going to get started on it. So go ahead and give us a holler, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. We appreciate everybody doing that. And I think one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. So go check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Great little company out there that supplies all the parts that you need for all of that extra, you know, if you got a particulate filter or EGR cooler or EGR valve and you need help doing all that stuff, you can give them a holler at go ahead and dpfregeneration.com. They got it all over there, the parts, the know-how, the technology, and just experience. That's what you look for in that kind of technology if you're not too familiar with it. So go check them out, dpfregeneration.com. So let's get started on here. I wanted to talk about this little article that we had here just a minute ago. Let's see here. Okay, yeah, here we go. Hey, who's this?
I don't know.
There you go. So, yeah,
what's
I was...
What's going on, Ed?
Now, man, I had to restart the deal. I did what Tiffany does. I put the 15 minutes instead of hour.
Way to go. Have you been drinking tonight?
What's that now?
Have you been drinking tonight?
No. I was in the groove and just real fast just did it all. So I did it that way where, you know, it was really silly. So are you backed over the road? What you got going on? Because I'm looking over here and everybody's talking about the freight slowing down and the rates going down and everything like that. So,
oh, rates are really trash right now, man. It's
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Not funny right now.
That's what I was suspecting.
Some of these shippers and brokers and whoever makes the contracts on, oh, I'll get a truck for that and I'll get a truck for that. Thinking that they were back in the 1990s or something,
right?
That we can haul all this stuff, but
that's kind of what this article I found. It's on Bloomberg.com, which is, you know, one of those. It's kind of like Fox News, kind of like CNN. You know, big deal here. And it says the Uberization of trucking is only speeding up. Freight brokers shift to online platforms to lower cost. Uber Freight and Convoy battle legacy firms for market share. So, I mean, we know it's coming. That things have been slowing down, but it seems that it's going to probably slow down even further. Like the rates are going to drop even further, as these companies are battling for market share. You know, these big companies are trying to get control of this stuff. And we know what they do is they just book the freight. They don't even ask, you know, how much it's paying, how much it weighs, and all that. They just book it, and then let us worry about all that stuff.
Yeah, they book it and put a number in, and hopefully a driver picks it.
Right, because like Uber, I remember when Uber first started, they were at the truck show. It was so funny because they were like, well, see, it's just like Uber. Like if you were working for Uber doing a car, we send out a ping, and you'll get a ping saying there's a load down the street for you, and you just hit select, and you just take it, and you just go. I said, that's not how it works at all. I said, what if it needs a flatbed? What if it needs tie downs? What if it's liquid and the driver can't haul liquids? You know, what if it's too heavy and all that? And they're like, well, I mean, that's factored in. It's like, no, it's not. You don't have no idea.
No idea. They have no idea of what it takes to run an oversized, you know, especially the trailer I'm pulling right now, which I don't have my flatbed no more, which I kind of kicking myself in the butt right now, just the way the rates are going. Of selling it, but you know, the trailer I have a low boy, 40 ton low boy. it's a specialized trailer. It's specialized freight. There's permits involved. There's overweight involved. I had a load cancel. It was a week and a half ago now. I ordered $450 worth of permits, and the load canceled on me. And I'm gracious that the company I'm leased to, they were able to, well, since it canceled, we'll cover the permits for you. Don't worry about the permits. So I didn't get charged for the permits, which is nice. But, you know, just $450, who has $450 just to sink in the permits? Not a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are soaking in by paycheck to paycheck. If they're not making the miles for the week or the gross revenue for the week, they're kind of sitting ducks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, the funny thing is these companies, they're just automating. They're automating all of their stuff, like with the computers and online technology and everything. And then they're not cutting in their deals. They're keeping their share, you know, and they're telling you there's not much in it, which, you know, and what I was saying here earlier was is that when freight dies down, like it could really get really bad here in this next 6 months, and even worse, maybe the 6 months after that. These companies, you know, they got money in the bank. They got some kind of deal set aside where they're not going to go away. You know, so when you got all these companies and they're really in no business, like we thought Uber Freight has not turned a profit, and we thought Uber Freight was going to die, and they bought Transplace for $2.25 billion. So, you know, we thought that, and so there's somebody out there investing money into these companies thinking they're going to make money when they're not really making money, but they're not going away. So all they're doing is continually bringing the price of freight down because they're just trying to undercut.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And they're not going out of business. So, you know, and then you got J.B. Hunt and Werner and all these others. I mean, I know Werner has its own app, and J.B. Hunt has its own app now. And, you know, everybody wants to go to the app. And yeah, drivers like that. I mean, I liked it because I didn't want to have to talk to nobody and all that. But the problem was is that when it came down to trying to find the right load, they don't put the correct amount. They don't put the correct weight. They don't even put the correct destination down when they put
like a major city. And I've been in a couple places where it's been like 200 miles away. It's like, really? This ain't where I'm going. That's not profitable.
Yeah,
how am I supposed to make a profit?
Yep.
If I wanted to make 20 cents, 30 cents a mile, I might as well go work for one of the big box stores.
Yeah, no kidding. This article here, it doesn't really break down what it does here. It says that these brokers build capacity in the fragmented industry by signing up as many as 2 million U.S. freighters as they can. These carriers are mostly small, with half of them being just one truck operations. Less than 6,000 carriers own more than 100 trucks. So you're talking about 2 million carriers listed, I guess, in the database or whatever. Half of them are one truck operations, so that's a million right there. So then you say 6,000 carriers are more than 100 trucks. So you're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of carriers that have 20, 30, 10 trucks. And I said that before, if you're a driver, a company driver working for those smaller carriers, man, one bad slip up and they're toast. You know, one bad, you know, and they, if you don't get good freight from these carriers that only got 10, 20 trucks, then the whole company could go out of business.
Oh yeah.
So it says the automation technology removes labor by providing a computer application for truckers to find freight and accept the price for hauling it. There's still a lot of paperwork used in the industry, but services including TransFlow are bridging the transition by allowing drivers to scan trip documents at truck stop kiosks to digitize the paperwork for fleet owners. So I was able to use the app. I mean, TransFlow, if anybody out there knows TransFlow, TransFlow has it on your phone. You don't even need to go to the truck stop to scan your documents. But what they say is the big cost of it. So, like, the guy that they interviewed for this article, he owns a startup trucking broker company. It says here, where did it have that ad? I read it here. It was Yeah, it says that it's Brett Suma, Chief Executive Officer.
Oops, who's that? Somebody calling me.
Oh, well. So it says Brett Suma, Chief Executive Officer of Loadsmith, a startup founded in 2019 that's projected to generate sales of $130 million this year and turn a profit. When Suma started his career in the trucking industry a couple of decades ago, his job was to open up packets of paperwork delivered by couriers to log the deliveries made by drivers. He worked at that time for Knight Swift Transportation Holding Company, which two decades ago he was either working for Knight or he worked for Swift because they hadn't merged yet. So, and he says now the company he runs is trying to eliminate all that paper, and he's talking about technology just doing away with it. And I don't think paper or any, you know. Like even TransFlow, I bet you TransFlow is probably still a considerable cost, given that they have an app to keep up with. I don't know, but
yeah, I use TransFlow and it cost me $2.25 to scan in my documents.
Oh, okay, well there you go. So,
but you know, it's and that's at that point it's just a cost of doing business. If you want your bills sent in, you want to get paid. Yeah, you'll pay that $2.25 if it's, you know, a $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 load, you're gonna pay that $2.25. That $2.25 is just pennies on the dollar.
Exactly. It's all about that. I mean, it's not about anything else than just, you know, it's in its speed. You know, a lot of places, a lot of different carriers offer that as soon as we scan your as soon as we receive your scanned documents, we'll pay you. You know, that kind of thing.
Pretty much.
You know,
within a couple hours you get paid, and that's how I get paid. And within, if I have my stuff in by 2 o'clock Central Time, I get paid that day.
Right.
And it's normally within a couple hours I get paid.
Yep. And I mean, I don't know why I guess they included that in their deal, because that's probably the biggest cost that brokers have is paying for their way to get their documents done or whatever. But I don't see that as a big major cost. What I do see is they don't even mention it in here. I tried to read on with this here to try to find out, you know, it's really all it is. It's every single company is trying to get all these trucks. I mean, most of these companies are talking about Uber Freight, Convoy, the guy here they're talking to with C.H. Robinson is one of them. RXO, I don't really remember.
Cheap and Heavy is what I call them, Cheap and Heavy.
Exactly, Cheap and Heavy. And then this new guy here starting up with Loadsmith. All of them they don't own a single truck. You know, you got J.B. Hunt and Werner, but their entities are different. So, like J.B. Hunt Transport Services, they book freight. They don't necessarily have J.B. Hunt trucks run that freight. They try to broker it out, because a lot of times when they book the freight, it's way more than they can handle. So they don't have the capacity to run the freight. They just book it. So...
Yeah, they just book it, and then if we can't get one of our drivers to work on it or to run the load, we'll broker it out, and we'll find somebody. There's always somebody out there that will run I need to get here, I need to get there, and I'll run the freight.
Right, and that's kind of what we've been alluding to here on Redeconize, is that, you know, they're making their money. So if you decide that, hey, I'm going to get, you know, I'm like, as a truck driver, you're going to have to decide, as an owner operator especially, are you going to take less money? You going to tell them no? If you tell them no, you might not make anything, but guess what? You're going to make your money. You need to get out there and make your money. But what I said here earlier in the show is that if freight does slow down, and let's say there is a company out there and they're shipping 10 loads a day and you're one of the 10, and there's 10 trucks hauling 10 loads a day, and they go down to 3 loads a day, how do you make sure that you're the third, you know, one of the 3 trucks that they call first? It's like, how do I make sure I'm the one they call first? Kind of thing you have to do, whether you have to maybe take a little less money. Maybe you got to work when everybody else doesn't want to work. You know, maybe you got to do that. So it's all about that kind of thing. And I could see owner operators making good money, but doing other things, like maybe, you know, willing to haul the heavy freight, maybe willing to work the night, you know, the night nobody else wants to work, you know, maybe. It's like they always ship out on Friday, and they always have a hard time covering that freight shipping out on Friday because nobody wants to run on Friday. It's like, well, if you always want to run on Friday, or if you're willing to do that on Friday, you just tell them, you know, I'm running on Friday because I want to run every day. And you just, you call me every day, I'll be here every day. And that way they always call you. But, you know, if you're going to sit there and say, I ain't hauling that, you know, then they're not going to call you. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line. If they're paying good, then you need to work, basically.
Well, if they're paying good, you're going to every beck and call, we need to slow ride, I'll get it covered.
There you go.
Count on it.
Yep. And I see out there where, you know, and that, what we got to do, I tell you what, I'm really, really upset about it. And I actually was at church a couple weeks ago, and I talked to the pastor about how we're in a free market system, and that free market system operates on a certain set of values where we need to be able to trust each other. And when you have agents and brokers out there giving you false information about where it's going or how much it weighs or what time it's picking up and what it pays, you know, you book the load paying a certain amount, then they call you 20 minutes later and they say, well, it's not paying that much. It's only paying us so much. And then what they try to do is say, well, I can only pay you this much, but I can give you another $200 in fuel surcharge. They're still paying you less. And then you, because you're trying to be a better person, are saying, yeah, I said I'd haul it, I'll haul it. And what it boils down to is that their low morality is hooking you into making less money. And we just got to stop putting up with that. You know, it's that their lack of morality and lack of honesty just ought to get them booted out of the business forever. We can't do that in this society, especially in this
industry now. That ain't gonna happen. It's just like the shutdown stuff.
Right. Oh yeah.
In the what was it, millions and billions of drivers that we do have out here. They're not going to all shut down, or they're not all going to say no for cheap freight. There's always guys out there, oh, I'll run that, I'll run that. And it just, that's why the rates keep going down and down and down and down and down.
Exactly.
They ain't
going to
come back up anytime soon.
Yep. And I had a little talk with some other people about that, about like negotiating and whether or not negotiating is a moral thing, whether are we doing the right thing by saying, you know, that I don't want to pay that much. I want to pay less money. Yeah, but do you want to pay less? Are you willing to pay less money? Like, and what it is that you want to pay less, but are you willing to lie for it? You're not going to lie to the guy to pay less money. You're going to tell the truth. Like, this load is heavy, but I can only afford to do it for this much. And it might be a pretty good amount. But the guy's, he's wanting to charge more because it's heavy. Well, you can, and if you find that mark to where he's willing to do it and you're willing to do it at a certain point, then everybody's happy. The problem is when you tell the guy it only weighs 15,000 pounds to get him to take it for less money, and then when he gets there, it's more. Well, that's not right. So it's one of those things that it's not about whether or not you're going to try to get the driver to haul freight for less money, or if you're a driver trying to haul freight for more money. You know, you got to pay your bills. I had a time where a company owner, he needed a trailer moved, and he goes, that trailer in Dallas, man, can you bring it to Little Rock? And I said, yeah, I can do that. And he said, well, how much would you do it for? And of course, at that time, I'm like, you know, new to the whole owner op thing, and I think I quoted him like, you know, $700 or whatever like that. And he said, listen, I know you're new to this, but I'm gonna tell you, you cover your bills. You give me a number, and I'll let you know whether or not that I can do that or not. So it's like, you know, you just got to know your numbers, and you got to say, hey, this is how much I'll do it for. If they say yes, then you don't shoot yourself in the foot saying you could have gotten more. I mean, you might could have gotten more, but you got to know your numbers. If you don't know your numbers that well enough to know that, or know the rates,
there's a lot of guys that don't know the numbers.
Right, and that you know, they don't know what.
You got to sit down and take a little time, and it might take you 15 minutes to figure it out, or it might take you a couple hours, but you got to know what your bottom line, what it takes to make you move that truck. You know, your maintenance, your insurances, your fuel. You got to know what your bottom line is. But there's a lot of guys that don't know that bottom line, and then just take whatever they can. Oh, it's paying, you know, it's paying $250 a mile. I can make money on that. Well, it costs them $235 to move that truck. Well, they're not making nothing on that load. They're pretty much covering their fuel.
Right.
You know, at 15 cents or 20 cents a mile that they're making on it, you might have to go work for a company making 40, 50, 50, 60. You know, it's a good going rate as making 50 cents a mile at any carrier right now.
Yeah, damn. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
Back when I first started, it was 15 cents a mile that I was getting paid. I thought I was, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm doing good.
No kidding.
No, I was doing, in this day and age, how are you supposed to pay your bills at 15 cents a mile? A lot of guys don't realize that most of these drivers have been out here a while. You know, a good five, 10 plus years, that's what they started out as. And they ran their living butt off just to make a paycheck.
Yeah.
And they still go, they run their living butt off to make a paycheck. And then there's other guys that it is what it is.
I'm telling you. Yeah, it's amazing how it has changed so much. And I guess, you know, when I first got into the business, a lot of truck drivers said it's changed so much. And I'm like, you know, it's changed in the last probably 100 years, massively changed, you know, compared to where it was as far as money and everything else. But also just with regulations and just, you know, different stuff like that. You know, I remember OIDA when I first heard about OIDA, they said, we're fighting for the truck driver. And it seems like there's more regulations now than there were when I first heard about OIDA.
Yeah. There's so many regulations that we got to go by and rules and this and that and the other thing that, you know, some people are like, how do you do it? Just one day at a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
One load at a time. I'm getting this much off of this. Well, at least I get to eat this week, or I got food on the table. At least I have a house at home. My wife has a house. My kids have a house. You know, whatever the case may be. Everyone's on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about millions of dollars here that these companies are throwing at it. It says that that guy, Suma, he projects that Loadsmith will generate $8 million of earnings before interest, taxes, and depreciation for all of this year, and plans to fund expansions with its own cash. The company expects sales growth to slow down next year amid the downturn in freight demand. The company will pursue an acquisition at the end of the year, beginning of 2024, to catch up with upswing in the freight cycle. So it means they're probably going to try to buy out one of the smaller companies so that they can, you know, get some more market share. And that's pretty much all it is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's just like even XPO Logistics, you know, you see a lot of these trucking companies, they've got trucks. They're just booking the freight more than they have trucks. They don't have the trucks to handle all the freight that they're doing. And I wish that these articles, there's a way to send this guy a message or something. I remember one of them, you know, it's these mainstream, I don't know if they know or not or care or whatever, but they need to understand that it's a global thing where they're coming in here and they're just scooping up all the freight. They can't cover the freight. They're just selling it. They're selling it to somebody else. It's just like remember what they talked about with the housing market crisis? I don't know if you've ever seen any of those movies, but what it was that because people were buying houses in the 70s, the houses were being bought and they were getting financed by these banks. Well, then these loans, their payments are being made because people like buying houses and like to make their payments on their houses. They were very responsible, so they're making their payments. Well, what these banks would do is they would sell the loans to other banks, and those banks would the lien holder would change, you know, or the bank, you know, would the note would transfer, and they would be continuing to sell them, and because these loans were such in good shape because the people were making their payments, nobody worried. But then when the government started saying, hey, why don't we start giving loans to these low income people because owning a home is American dream, and the bank. The people couldn't make the payments, so then those they started being worth nothing. So that's what's happening now is that these companies have swooped up all these all this freight, and then they can't cover it, so then they've got to sell it. And pretty much when they sell it, it's like they it's either going to be worthless or worth way more than it was. You know, it's not the same. So as a customer,
yeah, they're not making they're not making any profit off of it because
right.
I deal a lot with brokers.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't doubt that it gets changed like 3 or 4 times from broker to broker, and then finally
right.
gets to a driver.
Yes, I agree with that, and like you're saying, and then by that time, the customer, the shipper, well, they don't know who booked that freight. So when you get told, hey, you can get there by 5 o'clock, and you get there at 4:30, and they're like, well, we stopped shipping out at 3, you know, because you know 3 or 4 people, like you're saying, handled the load. So really, the info between the shipper and the driver gets lost in translation somewhere, you know. So
uh-huh.
I get that all the time. I see it more, kind of and. With like, you know, where to go, addresses, shipping, what do you call it, the destinations, appointment times, all that stuff gets screwed up.
Something gets screwed up somewhere.
Yeah. And it's just, like you're saying, just because it changes hands so often. And
oh,
there's no conduct.
It just dawned on me. Did you see the Elon Musk of Tesla? They did a 500-mile test.
And no, yeah, I saw that.
With
a load of
81,000 pounds.
Right. Yeah, I saw that on there, and it was so funny because it reminded me of, like, so in this movie, the guy plays quarterback, and he's a really good quarterback, and he's kind of a jerk, and nobody can catch the ball that he's throwing because he's the better player, and everybody else is all, like, old and fat and everything. And so the one guy caught the ball. And they're like, hey, good catch. And he's like, good catch, my ass. That's what you're supposed to do when the ball hits you in the hands. So it's like, you know, Tesla just completed a 500 miles it was?
Yeah,
or whatever.
500 miles.
Yeah, and it's like it completed.
Probably on flat ground, and it was
yeah.
probably 70 degrees out, 60 degrees
well,
out.
Not
they
only that,
dealing
they
with
had about,
with going over mountain passes, dealing with the snow, dealing with the wind.
Yeah, they had about 30 technicians following it, making sure it didn't break down at all, you know, and everything like that. And if it did, you know, and everything. But it's so funny to me. It's kind of like, you know, 500 miles pulling 81,000 pounds. I was like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You're
hey,
supposed
shit.
To do that every
actually,
day.
actually, at 81,000, where's his permits? Because that's
right.
1,000 pounds over, because 80,000
yeah.
pounds is legal weight.
Hey, you know
okay, where's his permit?
You know what they're probably going to do? They're probably going to give him special clearance. Because remember how they were giving people extra weight clearances for APUs? They're probably going to give electric
mm-hmm.
trucks. Electric trucks can be heavier because of the batteries.
You know, I've been reading comments on that, and one of them that sticks out in my head is, okay, the truck weighs more, and they're not going to be able to haul as much as we can haul. Majority of everyone can haul, you know, depending on what your trailer is, anywhere from 40 to 48,000 pounds per
right.
load, per truck load. So it all depends on, you know, what your gross weight is. You're not going to be able to get, for the sounds of it, that truck is way heavier than a diesel powered
mm-hmm.
truck. That it's not going to haul as much. So now you're
right.
calling out 2 trucks. Now it's
yep.
going to cost you even more money.
They got it all figured out, man.
No, yeah, okay. I think I'm better off telling these trees what to do than they are.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Yep. I agree. Man, I tell you what, it's something else. It's so funny. So my uncle, he's he used to be a draftsman. These are the guys that get trained in technical schools how to take the plans from the engineers and turn them into actual blueprints and all that. Okay, so he
oh yeah,
got,
those are even better.
So he didn't really go to a college like A&M or anything to be an engineer. He went to a technical school and learned how to be a draftsman. Which he doesn't really create anything. He just copies stuff over, and he actually works out the measurements and all that stuff like that. So after 20 years, he's in his office and he does his job, and these engineers come in there, and a lot of them are brand new and all that. So the engineer writes up a bunch of technical stuff, and he turns it into plans, and he takes it back to the engineer that's only been at the job for 6 months and says, oh, this is wrong, and you change this. And the engineer's pissed. He's like, hey, I'm an engineer. You're just a draftsman. Don't even tell me how to do my job like that. And he's like, but it's wrong. So the engineer goes to his boss, which is the big engineer, the big dog, and all that, and says, hey, this draftsman telling me that stuff's wrong. And he looks at it and he says, well, it is wrong. You need to fix it. And he said, yeah, but I don't need that draftsman. He goes, well, the draftsman, he's been at it 20 years. He probably knows more about it than you do, so you need to shut up and listen to him. You know, that kind of thing. So all these engineers and scientists and all that say, we know how to haul freight. Don't tell us how to haul freight. It's all in the science. It's all about science hauling freight. And it's like, don't even ask the 20-year vet truck driver how to haul freight. You know, we don't have to ask it.
Yeah. You know, we know. They don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. They're just a dumb truck driver.
Well,
you know, it's like some of these shops, these kids that they're hiring, it's like, man, I've been doing this a long time. I know how to work on my truck. You need to do it this way. Well, that's not how I was trained. Well, that's how I want it done on my truck.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way it is. You know, it's the way it's going to be. And everybody's, because the way they're trained is the way to cover the company's ass. That's all they care about. They don't care about anything else. You know, they don't even care about service, providing you with good service on a good oil change. Like, how can we provide a good oil change at a reasonable price that won't get us sued? That's all they care about. You know, so they
actually, I don't know. It's been probably 3-4 years since I've gone into a place to get my oil change done. But I don't know. I can't vouch for that on how good of a job they do or how bad of a job they do. Because, you know, my grandfather told me this. If you want to be able to own your own equipment, you need to learn how to work on it.
There you go.
And I've learned how to work on my own equipment, and I do all I can to a certain point. You know, rebuilding an engine, I imagine I can probably do it, but do I have the tools? No. So that's when you go in and paint it. But for replacing a light or replacing a mud flap, I see guys all the time, and oh, well, I need this done. I need this light replaced. I need this mud flap put on. And, you know, pretty much a common tool set in Walmart that's like $40-$50 that you can't replace a mud flap. Come on, man. It's only a little 4 volts, and you can have it done in a matter of 10-15 minutes versus a couple-hour wait or even a day in a truck stop. But they'd rather put it in the truck stop, and it costs them like 5 times as much as that what the mud flap actually is. It's getting pretty close to cutting the show off because you're about ready to go to work, huh?
Yep, getting there. Yep, it was good time, good week. So get back to it. Get ready for Christmas.
Oh, it was a good weekend, too. Yeah. I can't thank Greg and Tiff enough for letting me stay up there over the weekend.
That's awesome.
I was with kind of friends and family kind of type deal, and you know, Greg and Tiff and even you had become family, my second family, my trucking family. I was able to stay the weekend with them and have Thanksgiving with some good friends, and yeah, we drank a little bit, and I had to finish it off tonight, so.
Cool deal. Well, good deal, man. So, yeah, we'll be at it tomorrow and the next day, and then I'm going to be riding Thursday, so we might have a little short show, if no show at all. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I just got to let everyone know that we're not having a show on Thursday if you're going out riding Thursday. And
yep.
Well, it's probably, 7 degrees down there?
Yeah, it's supposed to be, I mean, today was kind of cool. It was in the high 60s, but tomorrow it's going to be like almost 80. So, yep.
Oh, that's a perfect bike weather right there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now we see why you like living down there.
Hell yeah, man. I love it down here. Hell yeah. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Now, I can do without the wind, but hey, you know, it's by the water, so it's going to get windy.
Yeah, that's power for the course.
There you go. Well, cool deal, man.
All right, have a good night. Safe travels tonight, man.
All right, bud. We'll see you tomorrow.
All righty. Bye.
All right, good deal. Sounds good. All right, good deal. Well, guys, I'm going to get out of here, get to work, and everybody have a great night tonight. And don't forget to – whoops, don't do that. Wait a minute. Not ready yet. Got to there it is. There it is. So don't forget to go subscribe to YouTube channel. That's YouTube is the name of the channel is Redneck and Eyes. You can see all of our links to our social media is redneckandeyes.com is our website. And you can check out all of the links to our sponsors as well. One of the sponsors I like to thank is Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. That's the app you can download to book freight, track freight, even plan your route, get parking and fuel stops, truck stops, Walmarts, even if you need any kind of maintenance or wrecker issues. Truckertools.com, the app for truckers. We appreciate all their support of Redneck and Eyes. So, again, we're here, Redneck and Eyes Radio, live every Wednesday or every weekday. Every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, you can give us a holler. It's 515-602-9731. And like I said, it's a call-in radio show. It's all things trucking and then some. So let us know what's on your mind, what you're thinking about, and what's going on in the trucking world. And we appreciate everybody's support out there. So this is Redneck and Eyes, Redneck and Eyes Radio. And until we'll see you guys tomorrow, stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road. I could find one to hold me tight, but I could never make believe it's right. 6 days on the road and I'ma come and make it home tonight. Well, the ITC is checking on down the line. I'm a little overweight and my logs are way behind. But nothing bothers me tonight. I can dodge on the scales all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. My rig's a little old, but that don't mean she's slow. There's a flame from a stack and the smoke's pulling back and forth. My hometown's coming in sight. If you think I'm happy, you're right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.